Now we are going to move on to next agenda paper four, that is alignment with IFRS 16 lease. I think this will be a very interesting topic. So that's good. We have more time to discuss on this topic. Now I would like to hand over to Roberta.
Thank you, Jinchao. So as I said, the next topic is the alignment with IFRS 16, and we have two papers for this session. So I will start with the introduction of agenda paper 4A, which summarizes the feedback on the request for information and the feedback from the additional outreach performed after the February 2021 SMIC meeting. You probably remember that at that meeting, there was a general consensus that the feedback on aligning the IFRS for SME standard with IFRS 16, even with simplification, was mixed, and that there was a need to undertake additional work to understand the practical challenges of applying IFRS 16 before the board decides whether to propose to align the IFRS for SME standard with IFRS 16. So we have conducted the additional meetings with preparers that are SME that we discussed earlier when I was updating on agenda paper 2. And we also conducted meetings with the members of the Global Preparer Forum who work for companies that have already implemented IFRS 16 and were able to share with us their experience in applying IFRS 16. The key messages from these additional meetings are that SMEs have limited resources to apply finance lease accounting requirements to all their leases, and too many simplifications might impair faithful representation. The other message was that using software or sophisticated spreadsheet to apply the finance lease accounting requirement to a large volume of leases might present complexities. And actually, in this respect, regarding the software use, I think it would be helpful for us to understand the readiness of the IT systems used by the SME to implement IFRS 16. For example, if the systems are now more ready for IFRS 16 implementation compared to when the large companies implemented IFRS 16 in 2019. And if SMIC members have any information to share could help in reaching out to software providers to gather more information about the system use, we would, as usual, welcome your help and comments. So before we discuss the possible way forward on aligning the IFRS SME standard with IFRS 16, which I'll discuss in the next paper for this session, we would like to ask whether SMIC members have any views, comments, or questions in the feedback that is summarized in agenda paper 4A. So, hand over to you, Jinchao, just to check if anybody has any comment on this paper before moving to next one.
Yes, thank you, Roberta. I wonder, SMIC manager, do you have any questions, comments on this paper?
Billing,
please.
Thank you, Jen Xiao. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you to the team for coming up with the possible approach. I would like to share my thoughts is actually driven by who are our targeted SME preparers, and then the SME users, as well as the original objective of having a separate set of IFRS standard. And hence, the proposed changes and the reason for such changes is crucial in order to ensure that the revised standard continues to meet the original objective, unless such objectives have changed. So with that, I support approach 3, that is improvement on disclosure for operating lease without changing the recognition and measurement requirements. I think this likely that my support of approach three probably is the minority. So let me explain the reason why from the different perspective. On the SME users' needs, the important information to them includes the cash flow, the ability to repay, going concern, and so on and so forth. And the agenda paper AP2 also states that the user look at latest information as financial statements are historical information. Hence, I think approach three disclosure would suffice for the purpose of the financial statement. I was at the outreach with the bankers about their views on as users of SME financial statement, and I remember a clear message that came from few bankers were that the bank rely a lot on real-time important information from other sources, which help them in their lending decision. And the historical information in the SME financial statement would just be one of the many sources. Other information they refer to include the SME owner's behavior, their bank statement, the credit report on SMEs or its owner. And in our jurisdiction here, this could be obtained from the National Credit Bureau Agency. Hence, this information need of SME is not a surprise, because even back in 2007, the exposure draft on this SME standard, the board acknowledged that the users of financial statement of SME may have less interest in some information prepared in accordance with full IFRS. For example, users of SME may have greater interest in short-term cash flow, liquidity, and so on and so forth. Number two, as to the SME preparers, I think earlier has been mentioned, it has been acknowledged that they have limited resources. So again, I'm not surprised with some SME preparers' feedback in the slide deck that compliance of accounting standard was a significant cost to them and a mere compliant exercise. More so if one of their primary users, the bankers, are relying on other real-time important information for lending decision. SME preparers need a simplified standards, there's no doubt about it. And this is consistent with the overriding message from preparers of SME, that is standard to be kept simple. From the national sector's perspective, firstly, I think the SME standard should be a simple standard relevant to and cater for the SME. Bearing in mind differences in the types and needs of users of SME, as well as limitation in and the cost of the accounting expertise available to SME, which I have shared earlier. And also, this was clearly articulated in paragraph in one of the BC paragraph in the exposure draft. And as we can see from the feedback, this remains very valid today. And during the development of the proposed standard, the ISB webcast, I remember then, explained that the proposed standard was tailored for smaller private entities in mind, unless that have changed now to focus on bigger private entities. Second, from the standard setting perspective, I think it is good to learn from the implementation experience and challenges on IFRS 16 prior to setting similar requirements, although maybe simplified, on the SME preparers that have resources constraint. Probably I may be in support of either approach one or approach two if currently we are at a stage whereby we are into or have done post-implementation review of IFRS 16, that is when we are ready at a point with enough implementation experience before we cascade down the new concept to the SME, which are generally less well-resourced. Thank you, Chen Qiang.
Thank you, Bi Ling. I think the your view is very clear.
Yeah, no, Greta,
do you want to respond?
Thank you very much, Billing, for your comprehensive comment. Actually, I did not want to interrupt you because you were also commenting on the interviews with the SME preparer. That was the update at the beginning of the session. And you have introduced already the approach 1, 2, or 3 that are discussing the next topic. In the next paper. So I want to check with you, Jinchao, maybe if I should say something briefly to introduce also agenda paper 4B about the three possible approaches, and then hand over to the SMIC member for additional comment, also having in mind the introduction of the other paper. So the second paper for this session asks for views of the SMIC member on the three possible approaches to align the IFRS to SME standard with IFRS 16 in the light of the feedback that we have just discussed and the alignment principle that were decided by the board and confirmed by the board recently. So these are approaches that have been identified by the staff. And we plan to present the possible approaches to the board together with a summary of the comment from the SMIC members at this meeting today. The three approaches are summarized in slide 5 of agenda paper 4B. The first approach, so what is called approach one, is that that was discussed in the request for information, that is to align with IFRS 16 with simplification. Approach two is to extend to all leases the existing finance lease accounting in the IFRS for SME standard. So this approach will introduce one accounting model for lessees, but with differences compared to IFRS 16. And approach three is to maintain the distinction between finance leases and operating leases with improved disclosure for operating leases. So this is the approach that Billing mentioned at the beginning of her comment. This approach will still involve cost of providing different disclosure to SME, but would not require the recognition on the balance sheet of all operating leases. So I just wanted to introduce also this second paper, and then I think we can hand over again to SMIC member for their comments in addition to the comment already made by Billy. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Roberta. Yes, I think SMIC members can comment on both papers together. Yeah. I see several hands up. Shall we start from Raymond and then Stephen and Yuna? Raymond, please.
Thank you, Jinchao. Good day, everybody. Just a few comments. There's some aspects of the papers that that have been mentioned by Billing which we agree with, and certainly listening to the comments that have been made through the various processes that we've been through in this part of the world, that there are the overall picture that we get, the overall sense that we get, that there is a need to keep the simplicity in the SME standard as much as possible. However, having said that, there are also trains of thought within the people that have commented that have indicated to us that they also would appreciate that there isn't too much of a gap between what IFRS requires and what IFRS for SMEs requires, based on the fact that we have a shortage of skills in our space, such that you'll probably find that the people that end up preparing a set of financial statements preparing financial statements for companies will be involved in both IFRS and IFRS for SME spaces. So having too much of a gap between them would probably lead to all sorts of chaos ensuing. So from that point of view, there's that need to try and maintain some sort of consistency in the thinking between the two frameworks, I guess the standard and the framework. Having said that, what we are seeing when it comes to the IFRS 16 question is a preference for possibly approach two, bringing all leases onto the balance sheet on the simple basis that these are obligations that a lessee who's entering into lease arrangement has got. So that obligation must be shown on their balance sheet somewhere and bring on the concomitant asset. At the same time, there's also an appreciation that some of the issues that one, some of the information that one would glean out of applying the approach two could also be obtained from either approach one or approach three, depending on how far along the disclosure requirements are updated from what is currently there in IFRS Fair Cities. But the general thinking is two would probably get us would probably give us the best approach, but one or three could get us there. But there may be additional work that would need to be done to add on to the disclosures that are required by those two approaches. I think that's it from me. Thank you.
Thanks, Raymond. And now, Stefan, please.
Yes, thank you. First, I would like to thank the staff for the extensive work put in on this project. It's very impressive. Firstly, I have this kind of similar general observation and several of the questions related to the alignment are linked to the relevance, complexity and the cost for the companies applying the SME standard. My understanding is that there might not be kind of geographical consistency when it comes to the group of preparers using the standard and the type of transaction that those companies are involved in. When reading the answer on the consultation, it should be probably bear in mind that the scope of the standard doesn't always mirror the actual collective of you that are using the standard. And relating to that situation, this my feeling that the staff has struck an overall and good balance that links to the fact that the SME standard is geared towards the mid-size or maybe even larger private companies rather than a micro smallest one. To that end, this might the suggested simplification are in line with the existing scope of the standard and in that manner is true to that scope. However, I think there might be a little bit of a problem that this doesn't always mirror that some users are expecting. In some geographical areas, I think that there is a lot of micro companies actually using the standards. And there might be a gap here between the expectations and being true to the objective of the standard. When it comes to the IFRS 16, I would probably go for an alignment of the section 20. But with some kind of option to where we can scope out those leases that maybe are most common in micro entities, either by under undue cost or certain conditions, can be accounted as if operational. This is probably a mix between two and three option in this agenda paper 4B. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Very good comments. And Yuna, please.
Thank you. And again, just to reiterate, there's an awful lot of work has gone into preparing this paper, and I think it's very helpful to see all the information together. I have some concerns which align with where Raymond came around the fact that we have taken the overall decision that alignment is important. And certainly we would have the same concerns around having people to deal with two completely different systems. And the more alignment there can be between the systems, we think that is preferable. I also have a real difficulty with not including a liability for operating leases on the balance sheet, because full IFRS has decided it's the definition of a liability. And if it meets the definition of a liability, it just seems to be a step too far not to recognize it on the balance sheet. I also think that, you know, when users look and absolutely agree that they're interested in cash flow, but I think they have to be interested in cash flow projections and understand the obligations that a company has taken on that are going to absorb those cash flows. And again, that leads me to saying that that liability needs to be on the balance sheet. I also think that it's right that our concentration should be on the smaller type of companies. And again, I do think that in the smaller type of companies, leases tend to be simpler. And they don't have 400 or 500 leases that they're going to have to manage on an Excel spreadsheet or whatever. They're going to have reasonably limited number. As to where I am with regard to the 1, 2, and 3, I probably am in 1, but I don't agree with all the simplifications that were proposed in the, very careful around lease term. I just think we need to be sure that the meaning of the liability does not get subject to structuring. So I think we have to go somewhere on lease term beyond non-cancelable period. But all the other simplifications, I absolutely support. I can live with 2. I must say, I find it very difficult to accept 3. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think your view is also very clear, I think. For particular, you mentioned, I think, about the cost of those smaller companies. This is the one thing we would like to seek some feedback from you, as Roberta mentioned, that whether there are any good software or spreadsheet. This is really about calculation, those numbers. How can the local companies bring those numbers on the balance sheet? It's about the cost. Thank you. And now let's Vijay, please.
Jingcha, greetings to all. I would like to ensure that we are hyper-technical and compliant with the definition of liability, even in the case of the main IFRS, as a practical expediency, we have exempted short-term leases and those of low-value assets. Mm-hmm. I would prefer for the small-medium entities, considering that many of them are actually micro-entities. And in terms of 80-20 principle, in terms of count, many of them are actually in the lower end of the SME segment. Just like we have done the practical expediency exemption in the main IFRS, I would suggest that following approach three would be something more appropriate for the SME entities. And in the case of SME entities, my own experience over time is that given their size of operations, typically the lease periods are between 3 to 5 years. They don't go into 10 years, 15 years, 20 years and all. It's very unlikely they are of such long periods. And the overall size of such operating leases is, Una was mentioning, they're few in number. And also in terms of the amount also, they're not very significant. These financial statements are largely relied by the banking community, lending community, and they do have enough visibility on the future rental outflows, which they factor in while determining the debt servicing capability and how much those entities are eligible for leveraging. And equally important is, in almost all jurisdictions, for operating leases, to my limited knowledge, from a taxation perspective, the rental paid is the tax deductibility. Now, for these small medium enterprises, if we follow the approach of capitalizing it right to use asset liability, it would give rise to some temporary differences and create additional complexities there as well. So, given these points, while I want to be very technical, I would like to be practical in terms of encouraging simplicity. I am in favor of approach three.
Thank you, Vijay. I think you raised a very good point in relation to the cost arising from tax differences. Yeah, that is another cost I think in the future we should consider. Yeah. Thank you for your comments. And Jenny?
Sorry, Jingcha, can I one more point, Jingcha? Sorry, can I come?
Yes. Yes, please.
Similarly, once we bring it into the books as right to use asset and all, again, impairment, all those also will get triggered. So we have to be conscious of that too.
Okay, thank you. And the next one, Jenny, please.
Thank you. And thank you for the paper, which is very comprehensive and I think demonstrates that there are a range of views on this topic. I think it's also, I thought it was a good paper as well in highlighting the potential issues and the areas where simplifications might be considered. I think I would be in favour of option one and amending section 20 to bring it in line or closer in line with IFRS 16. I suppose one thing I was just reflecting on was how different in practice option one and option two are. Clearly they're sort of coming at the issue from a different starting point, but I did wonder whether with option two it would be advisable to consider whether there are areas where additional guidance or additional material is required from what's already in there, perhaps to get closer to IFRS 16 or perhaps to give some guidance in areas where there isn't anything very much at the moment, and perhaps the lack of guidance would become more obvious if more leases were subject to those requirements. So I suppose I did wonder ultimately how much difference there would be between options one and two. But I would support option one with bringing leases onto the balance sheet. I think I recognise the calls for simplicity, and it will be important to think about those simplifications. And a lot of those have been identified, and potential options to explore further have already been identified. I think, though, things like the low cost and short life leases will mean that for some entities, whilst they may have a number of leases, they may actually have relatively few that would need to actually be recognised as a right of use asset and a lease liability. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. In terms of the difference between approach one and two, Robert, do you want to respond a little bit?
I think it is a very,
very good point.
And when we prepare the paper for the board, is actually one aspect that maybe we can analyze in further detail, because for this meeting, we just summarize the possible approaches. In my introduction, I mentioned that option two will reach probably the main objective of bringing the operating leases on the balance sheet, but there will still be some differences with IFRS 16 might be in part the differences that will arise from introducing simplification to IFRS 16 from approach one. So we will definitely perform the staff analysis when presenting the paper to the board. Thank you, Gianni.
Yeah, thank you. So next, Paul.
Thank you, Ching Chao. It's been very interesting listening to the folk on the call. You know, my inclination is towards option one, in just because of the it ticks the box on alignment and hopefully with the appropriate simplifications on simplification two. But that being said, I have heard some pretty persuasive arguments for option three from Vijay and Bileng. But notwithstanding that, I think I'm still inclined towards the first option.
Thank you, Paul. And Edison.
Thank you, Jin Chao. Thank you, Roberta, for the introduction. And also, I'd like to thank you, the staff, for the very good work in the preparation for this meeting and also the papers. So reading to the answers and feedback received to move forward, I support option one as discussed in the request for information. Considering leasing, in my view, is relevant for SME, I mean, it is the third most important source of finance for SME. Alignment is really necessary, in my view. So based on my practical experience, lease agreements are by far less complex for SME than for large companies, and alignment, you bring transparency, more comparability, and we prepare and reduce costs in case SME wants to go for a second step, such as go public in an IPO. For me, having a single model for an accounting for lease and requires recognition for all leases obligation, subject, of course, to some exemptions, and also providing some simplification in the requirements, such as determining discount rating, determining your reassessment terms of lease, simplify the language, and do not increase, of course, existing limited disclosures, as our simplification is necessary for me. At the end of the day, I'm with the view that lease transactions for SME are not such complex that should turn a simplification a difficult task. Go further with the simplification in the is of course a challenge, but I'm with the view that it can be achieved. So that's my point. I go for the option one.
Thank you, Edison, supporting option one. And Adele?
Thank you very much.
Adele?
Good morning. And I also like to appreciate the staff for the comprehensive of work as well as putting this meeting together. I haven't heard the argument from different people. I think for me also, as much as I would like to support the issue of simplification, which I believe should be incorporated, I would also like to tint towards the option one. If you know the financial indicators, both for small and big companies, are the same. So either you are a large, you're a medium, or you're a small company. So when there's need to assess your financial performance, we use same financial indicators, and that would be the same for every entity. And in terms of uniformity of accounting, so I would use alignment with IFRS 16 would be more appropriate. So for me, I also support the option one. Thank you.
Thanks, Ayoda. And Jose? Jose, please. Yeah.
Sorry, the mic was cut. Good morning, and thank you. I subscribe all that BJ has told about the small companies, because the most number of companies in every country are small companies. So the problem for these companies dealing with discount rates, impairment, and deferred tax is complicated for them. So I think that the approach three is better for them. And this size of companies will be punished with a requirement higher for leases. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. And Leinhardt, please.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to add that I believe stakeholders will still be interested in the future outflows, cash outflows on leases, so that base information entities will still need to collect. And then it to me, it's merely a question of how to discount that back and come up with your ROU asset number and respective liability. And if the focus could then be on simplifying that methodology to get to that number, I think it would achieve both the need to have a easy to apply standard and the information needs of stakeholders, and it would avoid the potential discrepancies between the full IFRS and the SME standard. And that I can see with divergence being too wide, it potentially will cause additional issues. I think we have the benefit of knowing how to apply the leasing standard for other entities and the learning experience from there. And I would think that there's sufficient technical support available in the sense of tools and IT solutions that help companies compute the numbers to put on balance sheet. And if then we focus on carving out small value items and short-term leases, I believe the focus should be on the bigger items, and I think they should be on balance sheet to avoid the large discrepancy if we can make it simple. So that leads me to support for approach one.
Thank you, Reinhardt, your support to approach one. And the next, Carmen.
Hi. I go for approach one, and I guess very similar to the comments that Una made. I agree with the simplifications, and I can't get past the fact that the IASB has determined that there is an asset and a liability, and I think the other approaches, particularly approach three, I really struggle with that one. The concern that I do have about the simplification, however, is the lease term. I think that there are some complexities in that, and I think shortening it would cause some discrepancies that I don't think are appropriate. And particularly in that SME space, I see a lot of related party leases that I think often have very long lease terms. And if you just use the non-cancellable period, I don't think that actually reflects the lease term. So that's the only concern I have about the simplification, is the lease term one.
Thank you, Carmen. You raised a very good point. Lei.
Thank you, Jin Qiong. So I support option one. I think in that way, actually option two is a part of option one as just a formal speak member side. So, but in the meantime, I suggest that when doing so, we should also consider to align the IFRS, the section two for the concept and the general principle as soon as possible, to align the relevant content of the financial report conceptual framework 2018 to provide the basis for the same the new lease model. Thank you, Yan Chong.
Thank you, Lei, and Julia. Sorry, Andrea, you're on mute.
About that.
Good, yeah.
I am in agreement with Billing, but I note that option three appears to be in the minority. I think part of the issue has to do with when we speak of simplifications on the option one, exactly what those simplifications will look like. For me, in the part of the world where I come from, most of the small entities are relatively non-complex, and improved disclosure, I think, would meet the requirement needs of users of those financial statements. When we speak of the cash flows, for example, I think that incorporating the rental lease expenses in your profit and loss statement, for example, gives a good indication of what the cash flows would be. And I think that having disclosures in terms of your lease commitments going forward gives also information with respect to, the number of years going forward within which you would have to make this cash outlays. And for me, I think that, you know, the additional cost and effort in terms of, you know, the complications that come up with the recognizing the deferred tax assets or liabilities, incorporating the discount rates for small entities, it can be a bit of a burden. So for me, option three is what I would support.
Thank you.
Next.
Saifullah. Saifullah, please.
Yeah, I'd also go for the option one, although it's challenging, but I believe SME already have some experience in the shape of applying this to the finance leases. So they already have some experience, so it will not be that difficult to apply the same principle to the operating leases. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any comments from SMIGA members on this topic?
Okay.
My fellow member Bruce would like to make some comments. Yeah, welcome. Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, I guess it's interesting. Thank you very much for the feedback from the SMIGA members. I mean, I think it's incredibly valuable. What always surprises me is when you talk about leasing, we talk about alignment with IFRS 16, and then we talk about simplicity almost in the same sentence. From my experience, I think we need to be very conscious, and just going to share some experience I've had, is that the majority of the SMEs I've dealt with, their biggest leases generally are things like offices, factories, properties that traditionally they've accounted for as operating leases. Well, that's always been my experience, which means by moving to an approach one and an alignment approach, there's nothing simple about this for them. They're going to have to take a liability that's not on balance sheet and put it on balance sheet. And in most situations, that's going to be material to their balance sheet, and it's going to have quite a significant impact on what they're reporting. So, it's just something to bear in mind for the SMIG members when we talk about it. I mean, I think we've just got to be conscious that I think the message we give is that I'm wary to always mention the adoption of IFRS 16 in this environment and trying to simplify it. Given that this is, as I say, such a fundamental move, I think we've got to be conscious this is a big step for people. And it's interesting to hear that there is quite a range on these approaches between kind of approach one and three. I mean, there are various people. Majority seem to be favoring the alignment approach, which is generally the message you've got. But I just think that for most SMEs, this isn't a simple move. This is going to be something that's material. And yes, we can look at things like lease term. We can look at the various details once we get into it. But just I'd always be cautious about using that word simple for them.
Thank you, Bruce. I wonder whether there are any comments from our SMIGA members on this topic. Yeah, I think cost-benefit balance, we need to think about in the future. And another thing is that the size of the SME, sometimes I think different jurisdictions may have different judgment on the size of SME. We are talking about smaller, and some jurisdictions may be very big SME companies are applying these standards as well. And also what kind of assets those companies are leasing, you know, the PPE equipment or a property maybe. Very big assets. I think those factors we need to consider in the future. Roberta, do you want to respond or summarize something there, and then we can have a break?
We are perfectly on time, I think. Now, thank you very much to all SMIG members for the comments. I think these comments help us a lot in developing the analysis in the paper for the board, so that for each approach we can actually discuss which are the benefits and the cost, and you gave us a lot of information to develop the staff analysis. So thank you very much.
Thank you again for your comments and input. I think the views still are a little bit mixed, but we are carefully thinking about your views, your points, and the reason and rationale behind your views. Thank you so much. So now let's have a break about, I think, not 15, let's have a 13 break, and let's reconvene at 13 minutes past 12 o'clock London time.